Hi, it's Mike. It's McCaughan here on Audio Boo. Saturday afternoon, heading home. Once again, in the extremely strong and mustery gusty wind. That's what it's been virtually all day. But I was listening to amongst other Audio Boos, I was listening to a query, a question posed by Claire Randall with assistance by Jacko Hopkins, Michael Jackson Hopkins. And Claire was basically querying about family. Should we be like the creatures of the earth, where once the youngsters, the kiddies, the babbies, have reached a certain age, should we, well, not the expression kicked out, but should they be shown the door to make way for our own lives or whatever we're going to do as adults? So similar to, and they gave some examples of lions and lions. I can't remember what else I spoke about. Sorry, guys. But, oh, whales. Yes, of course. But it's actually quite an interesting subject, because I can give two absolutely direct comparisons and opposite family lives within my own family. Well, within my own family, with my wife, my wife's family. I'll explain a wee bit better as I go along, probably, hopefully. Make some sense out of this at all. Okay, so let's assume that in my case, or our case, I should say, that we had our firstborn, our son, and 4 years later, we had our first daughter. Now, at that point, he's only four. Okay, so just a wee bit young to be shown the door, as it were. Go on, son, find your way in the world. Okay, so 4 years later, we have our second daughter, which means my oldest born is now 12. Now, he's getting near the point, you know, he's just reaching puberty, and he's getting to be an obstinate wee bugger. And should I then put him out the door at that point? So 4 years later, yes, all leap years, all 4 years apart, well, that would be obvious, it's an easy maths. So we had our third daughter, our final child. So by this time, our son is 16-year-old, okay? Now we're talking an age where he would be considered in the animal kingdom to be that young lion, male lion, who is, right, okay, pack your bags and go and find some other males and do some bonding, and later on, once you mature a wee bit, find yourself a nice wee female pack and settle down with them. Sort it out. Go on. So a 16-year-old. So it's not as if we could, even in my circumstances, say, let's put them out, the firstborn, when we know that the secondborn is due. Now, if you think about, you know, so many creatures off the earth, in particular birds, not just birds, so many other creatures, when the firstborn are at a certain age, you know, and if you take the blackbirds, when the first one, first brood, whether it's one, two or three youngsters born at the same time, all reach fledgling stage, and then they're rapidly chased away from the home ground. I've noticed it in my garden every year, because mummy and daddy's going to have another wee clutch of eggs, and they'll need all their energy and all the food that they're going to have to consume to rear the next brood. Now, I've counted in 1 year, I've had five broods of the blackbirds in the garden. In 1 year, a good year, granted. So you can see the point. They can't keep feeding. Well, you know what I like is when these youngsters are before fledging stage, they're bigger than the parents because they're so swelled up with all the goodies that's been rammed down their throats. Okay, well, we can't keep that up, so off they go. We can't do that, unfortunately, because we are different creatures altogether. Even a baby baboon or monkey can cling tenaciously Oh God, that was odd. I'm glad I got that out first time. To the mummy's fur instantly, and she can go rambling about and jumping from tree to tree, and that babby will just cling on there. Our babbies can't do that, unfortunately. They are so damn fragile, just through the nature of what human beings are or have become, I'll put it that way. So we can't do that. So if I take it back to my son being 16, and then we say, okay, on you go, and start your life. And 4 years later, of course, we would be rid of the oldest daughter at 16, and then on and on and on. So I'm trying to figure out now, I'm trying to figure out just how old we would be before we actually got rid of the last child. No, you figure it out. I can't be bought. But I think we'd be pretty well on. But the respect of, or in respect of what I'm trying to say is, that we really can't, if you take my situation or our situation, I keep saying, because it's both me and my wife, in our situation, we would still have 3 other children in the house being looked after and cared for and loved and fed and watered and whatever else you're going to do, drive them to the movies, you know, to the guides and things like that. And I've still got a 16-year-old there that I'm just trying to edge out the door. I've still got 3 behind him, and it's going to be 4 years between each one before I can get rid of them. So you can see that we're going to be well into, you know, you're going to be in the 40 before, in your 40s before you got rid of your last one. And that's assuming you only have 4. And, okay, some families have their kids all within a succession, you know, 1 each year for 5 years in a row, so they don't have the same distance or separation of years between siblings. Okay. So, in our case, if I explain this, in our case, our kids are all away. Now, my oldest son, I'm trying to figure out how this is. God, I have to think. This is terrible. Brains went dead today, considering mass. Okay, my oldest son, or my only son, is 40. And that easily works way down to my oldest daughter, who's 36. Then 32, and then 28. Okay. So he's a grown man of his own with a wife, you know. But they all moved away at an early age. It was more by desire for them to move on than it was for us to kick them out. Although at the end, when they did finally move, it was I think it was a mutual agreement and a mutual relief on both sides. They got what they wanted, and we had one less troublesome kid kicking up a stooshie in the house. Well, you know, like teenagers are, for God's sake. I was one. I must have been a horror to my mom. I wasn't really. But anyway, so they found their own lives, and they all have their own wives or husbands or partners. And they're all getting on well, and they're all working. They've got good careers. Their partners, if you like, have got good jobs and good careers. And we're happy with that. And we have been free of all children for a good number of years now. So we couldn't go back. If one tried to come back and say, look, I come back, stay away, because I've bust up with so-and-so. And we would take it all out. You know, of course we would be sorry for them. We would take them in. But my God, I've no doubt that both us and the daughter or the son that came back would be just as bad as us having to live with each other once again. So I'm all for what Claire says or alludes to, the fact that it probably would be a good thing to, at a certain age, to show the kids the door, or let's just say encourage them out the door. Say, look, you know, come on, go and find your life, go and do things. You don't need to move away to the other side of the world. Go and find yourself a wee apartment here in the town, and we can keep in touch, and you can come for your tea on a Sunday and that. But other than that, go on, go and find your other life, and let us rear the other kids now and give them more attentive attention and so on. Okay, so that's our situation, and we're perfectly happy with that. The kids contact us when they feel like contacting us. They send the appropriate cards at birthdays and Christmas, and the odd phone call or email or text. Okay, and we're perfectly happy with that. And I mean that sincerely. Now, if you take my wife's family, in other words, her sister's family, they all, she had three kids. One moved from an Edinburgh area when she took up with her partner and moved to a house right next door to her mother. And it was tactics, by the way, because she knew she was going to have a baby. And yeah, granny was going to be looking, granny and granddad, except was going to be looking after the kid. So she moved there. And their second daughter stays with them. She's never married, no interest in men whatsoever. And she has her own life. In fact, she's got a better life than anybody. She has always has money in her pocket, brand new car, and well, there's no point going into material goods. She stays with them. Now, the son, who is the youngest, but who's still 30-something, and he stays in a nearby town, but he comes to his mother's every weekend. He phones her midweek when he's run out of food, and he'll pop out to watch the football on the Sky television whenever there's matches on that suits him. So here we have my wife's sister's family, and that's including Alan, who's the lorry driver. They're all in this house, and this house, apart from being much smaller than ours, revolves around the matriarch, who is Ellen. And trust me, Ellen, when my wife goes up on a Thursday to see her sister, and if her brother's off to go and see his brother, who stays across the road, which is another complication, but that's none to do with direct children. That's a brother who's in his 50s. But when my wife goes up on a Thursday to see her sister, she comes back and tells me all the stories about what so-and-so did, the argument that was through the week, daddy having another argument with the one that stays across the road, the younger daughter who stays in the house, getting to into confrontation over what channel is going to be watching the television. Meanwhile, he comes in from his work, etc., and he's got to come in again and get all this sorted out because Ellen lays it off her chest to him. Will you have a word with him? Would you have a word with her? And from the outside, people look and possibly see that's a close-knit family, and yet it's not a close-knit family. They just have chosen virtually, although you could say they have their own lives, to maintain very ultra-close contact with the mammy. Not so much the daddy, because Alan seems to be... let's just say that there's a lot of conflict with him. Although he loves him to bits and cleans her cars for him, but there's always conflict. Always conflict. And I think he's partly to blame with it, because he doesn't, you know... With Alan, he just says what he has to say there, and then he 2 feet into the one hole and doesn't give consideration for... feelings or thoughts or emotions. Anyway, that's by the by. So, here you have a close-knit family, or what appears a close-knit family, and what actually, in fact, Ellen has told Mary on so many occasions, I wish to God that we could have what you've got. That peace and quiet, and them seeing your kids only now and again, and when they phone up, or, you know, that would be absolutely fantastic. Because she's pulling her hair out, and she'll sometimes phone my wife during the week and say, you'll never guess what happened today, and it's pulling her apart. And she, I mean, she's a bit older than us, in fact, so she doesn't need this. She needs to have a settled life, or a more settled life, and not have all this hassle. But it's constant, and as I said, every Thursday my wife comes down, and the story, she'll say, oh God, you've no idea what so and so was up to, and they were, Ellen was Anyway, I could go on and on and on. So there's a typical example where we have got our kids away eventually, and we're totally happy with that, because we like the peace and quiet. And my wife's sister's family, who are apparently close-knit, and are absolutely not close-knit, they just argue the bit out. And there's not a day goes by, I don't think, that someone amongst that causes bother. And Ellen has to cook for them all, because, not believe this if you like, Alan can't cook, the two daughters won't cook, and the son can do microwave and chinkies. And so Ellen has still had this burden in her late 60s of having to look after these as if they were children. Trust me, even Alan's like a child at times, although I love him to piss. But there are two examples, and who's got the best one? Well, if I'm looking from our side, when the kids were encouraged to leave or when they were happy to be encouraged to leave was a good thing for us. Each time each one left, we were slightly sad for a day, and I suppose they were slightly sad for a day, and then we all got on great with each other and that, because you're not living with each other. Whereas in Ellen's case, she's got them all round about her, and she has having so much trouble and strife in her life that she prays for what her sister's got in life. Peace and quiet, just to sit there and go on with things she wants to do when she wants to do it. And plus the fact she's now got a grandkid she's had when he was born. He's 9, 10-year-old now or something like that. And she'd had him every single day. He just runs across the back garden and she has him every day. And he's a troublesome wee bugger at the best of times. So you see, going back to Claire's original question, would it be a good thing for us humans to get rid of, not get rid of, you know, to encourage our kids to leave, you know, kick them on the bum a few times, like the blackbird chick getting picked on the bum with his parents, you know, telling you we're off. I think it's a good idea. I really do think it's a good idea. But it has to be done the right way, not kicking out for kicking out's sake. But I think if, we're all different, of course, but I think if we go back in time and somewhere along the line we maintained that, because we probably did, if you go back in time, probably did maintain a situation where youngsters, when they got to the age where they could go out and hunt for themselves, assuming they were guys, or maybe the girls could pick up another Neanderthal with a decent club, you know, then they would probably have moved out very, very quickly. Because when you think that in some nations in the world, in today's world, that is, that there are the children, or the young girls in particular, maybe not the boys, but young girls in particular, as soon as they have reached puberty, are married off immediately, out, go out, you're on, you're the 12, 13-year-old, and they're just virtually chucked out of the house. They're patched or paired up with some guy, some adult guy, and they're off. It's as simple as that. And is that a bad thing? I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's maybe not a good thing for a girl to marry a husband she's never known. So I'm not saying that would be a good thing. In fact, I don't necessarily agree with that. But if it was mutual and they liked each other and that, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Let them go on and make their own way in life. So there you go. An interesting subject, as usual, from Claire. She does pick up some great subjects. But answering them in less than 18 minutes. Oh, maybe that's just a wee bit lengthy. Well, anyway, I'll put it up. So there you go. That's just my views, of course, just my views, and nothing against children in the world in general. But there comes a time when children, no matter how nice they are, it's time to go. I know I was happy when I left the house. Under excellent circumstances, by the way. I got married. Let me think about that again. But I was 21. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.